20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. The bad news is that it's Monday. The good news is that we are one day closer to the NFL draft in Green Bay. It's a special time of year. It's always amazing. Hope springs eternal. Who knows what's right around the corner? Is it a corner, literally a corner? Is it a defensive end, defensive tackle? We are going to find out soon enough. But what we are doing today is my very first mock draft of the season. I haven't even written one down on paper before I did this and just kind of sorted everything out, which, by the way, took a whole heck of a lot longer than I was expecting. You know, you could make it really quick and just go boop, 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 and done, done, done. But obviously you want to make sure that the needs are there for the team that you're selecting the player for, that it's the type of player that that team normally goes for. And just sort of getting everything to kind of make sense and fit together was really, really difficult in this particular draft. It's just, this thing feels like it could go in like a million different directions. So it was really fun to go through it, but it was definitely a very long process, but that's not a bad thing. It was still fun to put together. And I'm excited to show you the results just so you all will hate it in the end anyway, but we'll get there eventually. 32 picks. We're going to go through them one by one and explain the thinking on each of them. Before we get there, shout out to Alan Bryant and Jim Brandt for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Thanks so much for that. Just today, I want to ask for you, just hit that subscribe button. Super, super easy, right? Costs you absolutely nothing. Supports the channel. This is your first time here. Thanks for checking it out. Still hit that subscribe button. Whether you're on Spotify or on YouTube or on Apple or wherever you're getting your favorite podcasts, just hit subscribe. And if you are on an audio channel, make sure that if you're on YouTube, make sure you check those notifications so you get it every time a new episode's out. If you're on an audio channel, make sure that you're checking automatic downloads. That helps a ton as well. As you know, this Thursday, Pack-A-Day, myself, and then Aaron Nagler with Cheesehead TV, we're going to be doing the Timber Rattlers game. We're going to be doing a live Q&A right before the Timber Rattlers game. Then we're going to be doing First Pitch. And then I think Aaron's going to be doing the Bratzuka, whenever it is that they do the Bratzuka as well. Should be a very, very fun evening. Looking forward to chatting all things Packers and NFL draft with Aaron Nagler prior to the game. And then, of course, the Timber Rattler games are always amazing as well. So this Thursday in Appleton, check that out. Aaron and I will be there answering all of your questions. Link is in the description of all the shows today. $10 gets you into the game plus into that Q&A as well. So get after that. What are you possibly waiting for at this point in time? That is all I have for you today. We are jumping right in to the mock draft. And let me make sure that I've got this set up correctly. If you are listening to this on an audio channel, I may recommend today that you go over to the YouTube channel. It's not going to be impossible if you're listening to it on audio, but we will have the visual as well. So you can kind of keep track of the picks as we go along here. We are going to get started right now. However, are you an ESPN or an NFL? I'm an NFL Network guy, by the way. Grew up ESPN guy. Now I'm an NFL Network guy. I just love Daniel Jeremiah. I think he does a tremendous job. But either way, here we go. Tennessee Titans, quarterback Cam Ward, University of Miami. This one is pretty easy, pretty self-explanatory. We don't need to go over it in any sort of great detail whatsoever. This is going to be the pick. I love Cam Ward, by the way. I really enjoyed watching his tape. I think he is going to be a very good quarterback in this league. And the only thing that gives me any sort of pause is that it's the Titans, maybe not the ideal 1A spot for him to kind of land in, but hopefully they can get things turned around. Their franchise is in a little bit of just a no man's land at the moment, but I do really like this pick. I think it is a no-brainer for Tennessee, and I think that hopefully they can kick off the Cam Ward era and get things turned around in Tennessee. All right, number two is sort of the first interesting one, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. This is going to be one that in real time, if they pick the wrong one, I'm going to be very upset by. Let me be clear. You can make an argument for either of these two players as the best prospect in this draft. I have, if you want to say, Andy, yeah, I love Abdul Carter. I think he is the best pass rusher in this draft, the best prospect in this draft. It should clearly be him. Cool. Understand it. Get it. No qualms whatsoever. If you say Travis Hunter, best prospect in this draft, he can play wide receiver. He can play corner. He's a playmaker. He's a star. He's a stud. Like, this is the type of player you want to build your franchise around. No issue with it whatsoever. No qualms. However, for Cleveland, I do have a very specific player that I think they need between these two. When you are a bad team, a floundering team, a miserable franchise, when you have nothing going for you, what you want to do is get one thing going for you. And the one thing that they have the ability to get going for them is pairing their all amazing everything defensive end, Myles Garrett, with a new all amazing everything defensive end, Abdul Carter. They might suck at everything else, but one thing teams are now going to have to lose sleep over when they play the Cleveland Browns is how in the heck do we pass protect against Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter? That is something. You finally have something that you can have that is yours. You have this unbelievable pair of edge rushers that might just be arguably the best in the league. You have something to write home about. You have something to keep teams up at night. Start there. Just start there. They drafted Mike Hall in the second round last year. He's coming off a catastrophic injury at the end of last year. But if you can get him right over the next couple seasons, you've now got a pass rusher on the interior. You have the makings of something there. Where you go from there is a who knows, and it's probably going to be a disaster because it's the Cleveland Browns. But start with something great and then build from there. This is their opportunity to build for something great. And I'm going Abdul Carter to pair with Myles Garrett on the defensive front for Cleveland. Number three then becomes very easy. Travis Hunter, corner slash wide receiver out of the University of Colorado to the New York Giants. They have now, if they want to use him at wide receiver, Malik Nabers and Travis Hunter together. That has the ability to be something very fun for that offense. Their quarterback position, that remains a bit of a mystery. Shedeur Sanders, to me, not worth taking at this spot. You have Russell Wilson. You have Jameis Winston. We'll see what ends up happening with that. I really like Tyrone Tracy, the running back they got last year. If you do want to play him on offense, this has the ability to be a really fun piece for their offense. Their secondary could use the help as well. So if he ends up there, that's fine. I think he probably ends up being a corner that you use on obvious passing downs on offense and maybe more like 2 minute, things like that. But you could go in a variety of different directions. And if you want to use him and pair him up with Malik Nabers, that could be very, very fun for the Giants offense moving forward. Number four, New England Patriots. They desperately need an offensive tackle for a variety of different reasons. All right. Number one, you want to start off Drake May with a good offensive line. And right now they just don't have it. Their left tackle is Vidarian Lowe. Their right tackle is the aging Morgan Moses. I don't need to say anymore that they need help at those spots. I do believe Campbell's going to be a tackle. If worse comes to worse and he doesn't work out there, he should be a really good guard, but I think he's going to be more than capable at left tackle. He goes to the New England Patriots in number four and gets Drake May a little bit of protection as he starts his real like first year, rookie year, is just getting those jitters out of the way. Didn't start till midway through the season. Now he's the legitimate franchise QB. Let's get him started on the right foot with a new left tackle in Will Campbell. Number four is the Jacksonville Jaguars. We are going with Mason Graham, defensive tackle out of the University of Michigan. They drafted Mason Smith a season ago. Devon Hamilton is still there as well. Eric Armstead, a big free agent signing from a year ago, did not work out. This gives them the opportunity to have a big time defensive tackle on the interior. They've got Josh Hines-Allen on the outside. They've got Trayvon Walker on the outside. Again, if you're a team that's maybe figuring out how to make an identity, starting on the defensive front with Mason Smith, Devon Hamilton, Eric Armstead, as well as Mason Graham on the interior with Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen on the outside, that's a way to do it. This is now a very good defensive line in Jacksonville. Graham should come in and help right away. Really like this selection, and again, should give them a defensive front that gives teams some worries when they're playing against them. All right, number six, the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm going Ashton Jeanty, running back out of Boise State. One of the most fun players to watch coming from this draft class. He is a stud as a running back. He has everything at his disposal. The way he bounces off blocks, the way that he has vision at the line of scrimmage. He just does that. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He's got his own unique stance out of the backfield. He's just that sort of dude. I love him. Here's the thing. Is this the direction I really think maybe the Raiders need to go here? It's maybe not their ideal situation, but they certainly need a running back. The other thing here is Pete Carroll's there. You know he's going to want to run the rock. And I think Ashton Jeanty is a great way to kind of get that offense moving in the right direction. They got Geno Smith at quarterback. You can start putting some pieces together on how you can maybe make this offense a bit more efficient than what it's been. The Raiders are also in Las Vegas. They're still new to that area. They're still sort of building their fan base. They need a face of the franchise that has the ability to be Ashton Jeanty, at least for the moment. I think he can be a really fun piece for them and should be, again, that face that they're looking for the Raiders of Las Vegas. All right, number seven, the New York Jets. We are going to try and finally fix this offensive line. They've put resources into it. Armon Membu, the offensive tackle of the University of Missouri. They need help at right tackle. All right, Carter Warren is there right now. They just have not been able to piece this together. Justin Fields is the quarterback. They've got Breece Hall at running back, Garrett Wilson at wide receiver. They've got some pieces there, but let's get that offensive line, you know, made sure that it's solidified first. You know, Justin Fields, longest time to throw. He's not exactly getting that ball out of his hands quickly. So if that's going to be the case, if that's going to be your quarterback, you better have time to have him throw. And Armon Membu, to me, best right tackle in this draft class, should help them out quite a bit. All right, Carolina Panthers on the clock at number eight. They're still a team that, you know, you're just sort of taking best player available at this point in time. I'm going Jalen Walker, edge slash linebacker. If you can see on PFF here, which is what we're doing the mock draft simulator through, if you can see on PFF, they have both edge and, well, I guess they have defensive back, but edge slash linebacker, both needs for the Carolina Panthers. Jalen Walker has them, you know, able to kind of cover a little bit of both. DJ Wonnum and Patrick Jones are on one side of that defensive line opposite Jadeveon Clowney. He can upgrade there and play opposite Clowney on passing downs. They also have Trevon Wallace and Josie Jewell at linebacker, a decent pairing, but now you've got a little bit more juice at that linebacker room as well. Again, if you're Carolina, it's BPA. To me, that at this point can make a strong argument for Jalen Walker. He makes sense for that defense. Their defensive coordinator, Ajiro Evero, very smart, is going to find the way to use him best. I think this is a really good fit for their defense. And hopefully they made a few steps this past year. They're going to get Derek Brown back along that defensive front. I think their defense should be improved with the return of Brown and now with Jalen Walker on that second level as an off-ball linebacker slash potential edge rusher as well. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints. I didn't want to do this. I really did not want to do this. But it's the New Orleans Saints, and they need a quarterback. Derek Carrsart. I actually am a little bit of a Spencer Rattler truther. They can give you know, be better than what he showed last year as a rookie. But this is the Saints we're talking about. You know, team no man's land themselves. They're in salary cap purgatory. They can't really build the roster. They're getting old. Now they don't have a quarterback. Like, what? I don't know what they're doing. And this to me is probably doubling down a little bit on just in being no man's land. And I don't know that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a quarterback that's going to elevate a team. And they're not ready. It's wrong for probably a billion different reasons. That's why it's probably right, because it's the Saints and they have just been this floundering, again, no man's land team that just can't get these decisions right. They need to rip the Band-Aid, get their salary cap situation correct. Now they've got the car situation. To me, this is at least some way to get a quarterback in the door. And maybe if you hit on it, you can get this team going back in the right direction. You might as well just take a big time lottery ticket at this point, because that's probably the only thing that's saving you. You're in so much debt. There's no way to pay it off. I guess, again, buy a $2 lottery ticket, see if you can hit the jackpot and it can pay everything else off. But Shedeur Sanders, I liked him more than I thought I was going to like him, to be honest. The time to throw, although his offensive line was brutal, he's a good quarterback. Throws a really nice ball. I think the arm's better than he's given credit for. Again, I would like to see him play within the rhythm of the offense a little bit more. But again, in that offense and that offensive line, it was very difficult to do so. I like him. He's going to come in and get the opportunity to start New Orleans. Again, don't know that I love this pick, but I could very easily see it being the Saints pick at number nine. Number 10, Chicago Bears. Hopefully they screw it up somehow. I'm going with Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State. If Genty had been here, I would have went with Genty. I think this is going to be, or have the potential at least to be, a very fun 1-2 tight end punch with Cole Kmet and Tyler Warren at tight end. Two tight ends that will fit very well in Ben Johnson's offense. Yeah, I think they'll probably address running back maybe in, you know, a little bit later in the draft. They still have good wide receivers. Obviously, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze from a season ago. They rebuilt that offensive line. Now you can start to see the vision for this offense. A lot of two tight end sets with Kmet and Warren, with two wide receivers on the outside in Odunze and DJ Moore. You know, you have DeAndre Swift at running back, but again, they probably add to that room. And then a much improved offensive line, Caleb Williams at quarterback, Ben Johnson as the play caller slash play designer. Again, I hate it, but you can see the vision. You really can. Tyler Warren's a stud. He really is a unique tight end. I don't love taking tight ends this early. I think there is some risk that goes along with it. But, you know, he made a massive jump in 2024. He's a big presence. He's a receiving tight end. He can block for you as well. Run some wildcat if you need him to. J- just a very unique piece. And you know who knows how to use unique pieces, a very easy sentence to say, is Ben Johnson. And I think he will fit very well in that offense. All right, number 11, the San Francisco 49ers. This one makes all the sense in the world to me. Jahad Campbell, the linebacker out of Alabama. If there's a team that understands the importance of the off-ball linebacker, it is San Francisco. Fred Warner is not getting any younger. Another Campbell at linebacker worked out about as terribly as you could possibly imagine for San Francisco this past year. That was Devondre Campbell, who quit on his team. Shocker, by the way, this is going to stun you. Devondre Campbell has yet to find another team in the NFL. He's done. You cannot quit on your team. I would be shocked if he found another team, but we digress. If there's a team, like I mentioned, that knows that the importance of off-ball linebacker, it is San Fran. They're going to be able to pair him with Fred Warner right now. He's going to be the long-term replacement for Fred Warner. You remember Dre Greenlaw left in free agency. Plus, you've got a little bit of an edge rusher need as well. And, opposite Nick Bosa, Jahad Campbell, some believe, can be a really talented pass rusher as well. So this gives you a little bit of a hint of that if you want to use him in that way, or at least it gives you an option to do so. So we've got Jahad Campbell, number 11, to the San Francisco 49ers. Number 12, we are going wide receiver here for the Dallas Cowboys, and we are going with Matthew Golden out of the University of Texas. Golden gets to stay in Texas, going to Dallas. They need an outside wide receiver. They want speed. Stephen Jones had basically came out and said that they want speed at wide receiver. And, with CeeDee Lamb in the slot, They need playmakers on that offense. They could go running back here. They are in desperate need of some running back help as well, but they need to get some targets for Dak Prescott. And again, CeeDee Lamb, very talented wide receiver, but I think adding another speedster to this offense who plays now on, would play on the fast turf in Dallas, this would be a great landing spot for Matthew Golden. You don't need to be the 1A guy because you have CeeDee Lamb there, but this offense needs it. They need the speed. They need the playmaking. And Matthew Golden would certainly give them that. A little bit rich for my blood at pick 12, but I could definitely see Dallas going in this direction. Hey, everyone. I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather, so before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Number 13, we're going back-to-back Texas players. This is going to the Miami Dolphins at pick 13. We are going Jahdae Barron, the defensive back, out of the University of Texas. For Miami, Storm Duck, Cam Smith, Kadar Kahu, Artie Burns, those are some of their corners right now. At safety, Ashton Davis and Ifeatu Melifanwu, they bring both of those guys in. And then they've got Jalen Ramsey, who is not getting any younger. This is their long-term Jalen Ramsey replacement. In the meantime, he or Ramsey could play outside or in the slot. You can move those pieces around. Miami needs an infusion of talent in that secondary. He should be a really fun player right now to pair with Jalen Ramsey, assuming he stays there. And in the long-term, replace him. Miami just needs some players, some playmakers in that secondary, and Barron gives them exactly that. Number 14, man, did I debate this one for a while for the Indianapolis Colts. I am going with tight end Colston Loveland out of the University of Michigan. Two tight ends taken in the top 14. They had zero production from their tight ends last year in Indy. They love their athletes. Colston Loveland is certainly that. And listen, if you're going to try to get the most out of whether it's Anthony Richardson or I guess Daniel Jones at this point, you need to give them some weapons. They have the weapons at wide receiver. There's no question about that, but giving them a nice big target that knows how to get open against man and in zone in Loveland makes a ton of sense for this offense. Now you've got actually four good wide receivers, a great tight end, Jonathan Taylor at running back, potentially a dual threat quarterback in Anthony Richardson. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's an offense that's going to set the league on fire or whatever, but I do think it gives you a really nice piece for either of those quarterbacks. And listen, when you don't have a 1A quarterback, you know, giving them a safety valve at tight end does make a ton of sense. 15 is another one, Atlanta Falcons, that I spent a decent amount of time debating, but I ended up with a edge rusher out of Marshall, Mike Green. This one to me fits their 3-4 defense. He's going to come in and give them the juice that they so desperately need at pass rusher. That front seven is, let's just say, in need of a makeover. They don't have the pieces right now. They have to find pass rush. They've got two good pieces in their secondary at corner and at safety. Obviously, Jesse Bates at safety and then AJ Terrell at corner. They need somebody to get to the quarterback. I think they find him here in Mike Green. I debated the other edge players, whether it be a Shamar Stewart. I debated Michael Williams, but ultimately for the Falcons in particular, I went with Mike Green. Number 16 is the Arizona Cardinals. At number 16, I'm going with another one of those edge rushers. This one out of the University of Georgia. I'm going with Michael Williams. Arizona has done everything that they basically can to upgrade their defensive front already. They go get Josh Sweat from Philly. They go get Calais Campbell, bring him back home from Miami. They also go and get Dalvin Tomlinson from, I believe it was Cleveland. They are trying to get that defensive front back on track. It was a nightmare a season ago. They did not have anyone that could get to the quarterback. I bet they are still looking for more pieces. And the truth is that Dalvin Tomlinson, still not a pass rusher. And Calais Campbell is probably a one-year stopgap at best. They go get Josh Sweat, but you'd love somebody opposite him. Hello, Michael Williams. You now get your playmaker opposite of Josh Sweat, or at least a really good defensive end or slash edge rusher opposite Josh Sweat. Now you've got your bookends in that 3-4 defense. I think it makes all the sense in the world. Whether they do it or not will remain to be seen, but I like Sweat and Williams bookending each other in that Arizona pass rush. Should be, I think, a much improved defensive front if they do go in that direction. All right, number 17, Cincinnati Bengals. I think you could go probably a couple different directions here, especially if you're going to stick at this position, but I'm going defensive line. I'm going Kenneth Grant out of the University of Michigan, teaming him with his former teammate from University of Michigan, Chris Jenkins. Also, if you look at what they have at linebacker, they've got two very fast flow to the football linebackers in Logan Wilson, as well as Jermaine Pratt. They need help along the defensive line. You get a run stuffer in Kenneth Grant, who has some pass rush upside as well. He is a freak athletically. He fits on their defense. This makes a lot of sense for what they need, what they could use, and just giving them a playmaker along that defensive line, or at least, again, maybe I'm using playmaker a little aggressively, but somebody who has the potential to be a stud slash playmaker along that defensive line in the meantime should clog a lot of it up and give those linebackers the ability to flow to the football. Number 18, Seattle Seahawks. We are going to immediately replace DK Metcalf by going and getting Tet McMillan, keeping him on the West Coast. You now have a made-over wide receiver room that is much cheaper because you were able to move on from DK Metcalf. You still have, you know, prime of your career, JSN. You brought in Cooper Kupp, which I don't love that move, but now you get Tet McMillan. You've got McMillan and probably a lot of JSN on the outside with Kupp in the slot. I'm sure JSN will play in the slot as well with Kupp going outside from time to time, but they need that outside wide receiver. They've got Kupp and JSN who can play inside. They need somebody else who can play outside, and that is where Tet McMillan comes in. With Sam Darnold, that quarterback, giving him a big catch radius guy in Tet McMillan, again, makes a ton of sense. I like this a lot for Seattle, replacing DK Metcalf, but doing it in a way cheaper way than paying DK Metcalf that massive contract. Plus, they get a second rounder that they recoup in that, that they will be able to use a little bit later in this draft. Number 19, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another very, very tough one to kind of figure out. But what I came up with was Tyler Booker, the guard out of Alabama. I love this player, and I think he makes all the sense for Tampa Bay. They've got two guards right now that are okay. Ben Bredesen especially is one that you're probably looking to upgrade. Cody Mauch is a player I think they got in the second or third round a couple of years ago. A lot of upside there for him. But at left guard, you enter in, you let Bredesen be on the bench, you get Tyler Booker at left guard, and think of this left side of the line moving forward. Tristan Wirfs, then Tyler Booker, and then at center, you've got Graham Barton, their first round pick from a season ago. Now you've got a left side of your line that's really great. That's Baker's blind side. Plus you got Bucky Irving at running back. He was really fun to watch last year. I thought about running back here. You know, Amarian Hampton is somebody that comes to mind, but I'm going to build up that offensive line. They don't have a ton of needs. They've got good wide receivers. I was, if one of the tight ends would have been here, I would have considered that for them, but their defense is in a pretty good spot overall. But I think just, again, building up that offensive line makes a lot of sense. So I'm going Tyler Booker here, University of Alabama, again, guard to help out Baker Mayfield and company. Number 20, Denver Broncos. This just goes in the it's too good to pass up category. Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina. They've got a really nice group of running backs. You know, they've got Jaleel McLaughlin. They got Audric Estime. They've got nice backs, but this is a massively talented running back. I think there's a very good chance he could go before pick 20. And I think this is just a value pick. You get your long-term running back to pair with Bo Nix. They've got good wide receivers. They've got a pretty darn good offensive line. We saw this team really sort of remake itself last year with Sean Payton and Bo Nix. And I think just to take even more pressure off of Nix, you get a really talented running back. He is like a faster Matt Forte to me. Like Matt Forte could do a little bit of everything, just like Hampton. Hampton sees the lanes, can run behind contact. Like he can do all the things that Forte could, but he's even faster. I like this pick. I think he fits in very well within that Sean Payton offense. We know how well Sean Payton's done with good running backs in the past, like an Alvin Kamara. Fits the offense, fits what they need. Too good of a value to pass up. I'm good with Omarion Hampton here at pick 20. So we get closer and closer to pick 23 and the Green Bay Packers. All right, pick 21, Pittsburgh Steelers. They'd, I'm sure, love a quarterback here. I can't get behind any of the quarterbacks at this spot. So I am going with Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia. This feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. They have kind of that spot open next to Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety. You have a really fun safety duo then in Fitzpatrick and in Malachi Starks. He, I think, solidifies the back end of that defense. They've got the great pass rush up front with TJ Watt and Highsmith and Cam Hayward and company. This is a good, really good defensive front. Now you solidify that safety group. They're going to have to probably win on defense right now. We'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. They go out and get DK Metcalf on offense. They've got solid backs. They've got a good offensive line. There's not a ton of needs for Pittsburgh here, but safety certainly is one of those. Again, next to Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they get a guy that is every scout and coaches apparently just rave about him. I thought he's a good player. I didn't think he was necessarily a, you know, top tier first round guy, but this is a spot at pick 21 that does make sense for Malachi Starks. Could see Pittsburgh going there. He's the pick going next to Minkah Fitzpatrick. Number 22, Will Johnson goes to the Los Angeles Chargers to go with his old coach, Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh obviously knows him very well. They could use the corners. They go get Dante Jackson in free agency. It's kind of, I know it's like, it's like $7-8 million a year, somewhere in that range. It's not super cheap, but it's relatively cheap at corner. They've got Cam Hart coming back in his second year. Ben St. Juice they went and got. They just don't have a ton of playmakers at corner, and they could certainly use an upgrade and more competition here. I think Will Johnson makes a lot of sense. Again, teaming him back with his former coach and Jim Harbaugh would have been a real option for Green Bay at pick 23, a pick later, but he goes one pick before to the Chargers at 22. All right, so who do we have on the clock here for Green Bay? You've got Walter Nolan. You've got Luther Burden. You've got Donovan Ezeraku, Josh Simmons, the tackle out of Ohio State, who would have been, you know, I think a much earlier pick had he not had the injury issues. Kelvin Banks from Texas is still there. You know exactly where I'm going, though. You know the Green Bay Packers. I know the Green Bay Packers. You know exactly where they're going in this situation. Oh, by the way, the defensive tackle out of Oregon, Derek Harmon, also still there. You know the pick. Shamar Stewart, defensive end, Texas A&M. Here's the thing. Here's what's fun about mock drafts, all right? You do not have to like my pick of Shamar Stewart. You can look on our board right now and say, oh, sweet, Walter Nolan was available. Luther Burden was available. Donovan Ezeraku was available. Emeka Egbuka was available. You know, again, Derek Harmon was available. You get to choose your own adventure. You don't have to listen to me. I think they would pick Shamar Stewart here. Your guess is as good as mine. If you want one of those other guys, put them in here. If you think Green Bay would go with one of those other guys, put them in here. I think they go Shamar Stewart in that situation. I think that there is maybe some consideration, you know, for specifically Derek Harmon here. I think he'd be the only other one. I think this would be between Harmon and Stewart. I had other ones that played out as I was going through this, by the way, that Stewart was taken earlier and Derek Harmon was the pick here. He did last. I thought going into it, just the way things were going to fall without, you know, just guessing, by the way, like before I started actually doing the exercise, I thought Will Johnson was going to be the pick here. But with Will Johnson off the board, Shamar Stewart still there. High-end pass rusher. Didn't have the productivity in college that you would have liked him to have. Texas A&M in general, Nick Scorton, another player they had who was a freak guy out of Purdue who transfers over, expected to have high-end sack production, didn't. Like, they just played those guys differently. I think he has the ability to be one of the best pass rushers coming out of this draft. I love the tape. I'm not worried. I mean, the lack of production is not nothing. I totally agree with that. To me, I love Ezeraku. I would love Ezeraku here. I really love Derek Harmon. I love what he would potentially bring to the team. There's a lot of players that I would like on this board. Quite frankly, I would have no real issue if they took Josh Simmons. I would love Luther Burden. Walter Nolan, I could at least see the vision of what they're looking at there. There's a lot of different directions that they could go here. I have no issue with the Shamar Stewart pick, though. And if they do go in that direction, which I think they would in this situation, I would be more than thrilled with the pick. Just hope that he can figure out the production in Green Bay. They're due one of these to pay off in a major way. I do like Stewart more than I liked Gary coming out. I do like Stewart more than I liked LVN coming out, even though he's going later here at 23 than I either Gary or LVN did. Would be very pumped about what he could bring to Green Bay and just bringing even more juice and athleticism to that defensive front. All right, number 24, we are going to do our first trade here. We are trading with the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are coming up. Minnesota is probably going to want to recoup some picks because they don't have a ton in this draft. They only have 4 picks. Now, unfortunately, in this case, Minnesota does not get a 2025 pick, but they get a 2026 third round pick to move back 5 spots. Washington comes up, gives pick 29 and a future third to Minnesota for pick 24. We are going to accept that trade and we are going to go back to the picks. Which we do by going here somehow. All right, how the heck do I? Oh, here we go. Draft the player. All right. So Washington moves up to get Donovan Ezeraku, the defensive end out of Boston College. They need some pass rushers, man. Like, if you look at their edge rush group right now, Dietrich Wise and Dorrance Armstrong, it's just not good enough. They need a little bit more juice on that front. I think Donovan Ezeraku would definitely give them that. Makes sense for what they need. They are a very good team. They saw what Philly did to them with their pass rush. I am sure they are going to want a big time pass rusher out of this draft. They just saw Shamar Stewart go. You know, in this case, you already got Michael Williams gone. Mike Green is gone. So there's this run on pass rushers. There were 2 left. Shamar Stewart goes to Green Bay. They get Ezeraku at 24. That's why they trade up. Minnesota recoups a future third round pick by moving back a handful of spots. Number 25, the Houston Texans. This is another Texan who gets, or a Texas player who gets to stay in Texas. They take offensive lineman Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas to stay in Houston. Cam Robinson, left tackle, they signed to a 1-year, $12 million deal, basically just a stopgap deal. He'll play there now. Kelvin Banks will have the opportunity to compete at other spots. He has versatility, left tackle, right tackle, and guard as well. But I think he's the long-term left tackle for them. Cam Robinson keeps it for now. But going into 2026, Kelvin Banks would be their long-term left tackle for the foreseeable future. 26, LA Rams on the clock. We are going with a corner here out of the University of Kentucky, Maxwell Hairston. As I talked about on the show yesterday on the deep dive, Hairston has no idea how good he can be. He is a phenomenal athlete, 4.240 speed, 4.28. He runs faster than, you know, you look at the tape, it looks different. It is a speed that nobody else is running at, even in the SEC. Rams could use corners. I don't think there's any question about that. Akella Witherspoon is the starter right there right now. I think even if Hairston can't beat out Witherspoon right now, he's the long-term and much higher upside player than Witherspoon is. Makes sense for the Rams. They definitely could use corner. And they don't have a ton of needs elsewhere. Could they take a quarterback here as a long-term replacement for Matthew Stafford? Sure. I don't think the Rams are thinking that way. They were a pretty high-end playoff team last year. They're going to want to continue to improve that team, and getting Maxwell Hairston does just that. 27, Baltimore Ravens, and the most Baltimore Ravens pick ever. They draft Derek Harmon. Good players just always fall to the Baltimore Ravens. It doesn't matter where they're picking. Good players just fall in their favor. And Derek Harmon is a really good player. Probably should not be there at pick 27. Somehow he's there at pick 27, and they take him. It's a no-brainer. They've got good defensive tackles. Nnamdi Matabuike and Travis Jones are already there, but this gives them another pass-rushing option. Going with Matabuike is kind of their full-time defensive tackle, and then kind of platooning Jones and Derek Harmon, I think, could make some sense. Plus, they go a three-man front at times. He's going to fit in there perfect, and he is a, to me, no-brainer pick for them. Just, again, get lucky with these super talented players falling to the Ravens and them just being like, yeah, we'll take him. No worries. It's another example of that. 28, Detroit Lions. They solidify that defensive front by going with James Pierce, the defensive end out of Tennessee. This is a great scheme fit. I think he fits perfect in a wide nine, which Detroit runs. He does not have to worry about being the guy because Aiden Hutchinson is across from them. Marcus Davenport has missed so many freaking games. I was surprised they brought him back, quite frankly. But now they have another option there on the defensive front. With Hutchinson coming back from injury, Davenport coming back from injury, we saw how decimated they got along the defensive front. Now you've got another option in James Pierce. Fits the defense very well. He's the pick at 28 for Detroit. Pick 29, Minnesota, back on the clock. Remember, they picked up that future third by trading back with the Houston Texans. They are going to go here with a safety with Nick Emanwori, the safety out of South Carolina. This makes sense for a couple of reasons. A, Harrison Smith is not getting any younger. He is a long-term Harrison Smith replacement. Number two, they did lose Cam Bynum in free agency. So that is a big loss. He goes to Indianapolis, if I remember correctly, and they have that open spot there. Now, they have Josh Metellus as well, so it's not like they're barren at safety, but they used a lot of three safety sets, and now that's where Emanwori comes in. The other thing, too, is Emanwori has the ability to play a variety of different positions. And Brian Flores is very unique with his play calling and his scheming. And if there's anyone that I think can tap into that potential, it is Brian Flores. Makes a lot of sense here for them going with the safety to replace Harrison Smith and right now Cam Bynum, and then going in a defense that's going to get the most out of him. All right, number 30, Buffalo Bills. Who did I compare Luther Burden to? Oh, right, Stephon Diggs. And multiple people have made that comparison as well. Buffalo Bills select Luther Burden, wide receiver out of Missouri. I still think they can use more juice at wide receiver. I really do. And I think Luther Burden gives them exactly that. I think this is a steal at pick 30. I think this gives them their new Stephon Diggs. I think Josh Allen is very happy to see a wide receiver with some real legitimate run after the catch ability. I don't think you can go wrong here at all. I think this is going to be a big-time playmaker in this offense. And quite frankly, I think could be the piece that finally gets them over the top and makes them into a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Josh Allen at quarterback. Number 31, Kansas City Chiefs, a player that I got to watch a lot of recently and fell in love with pretty quickly. That is Josh Connerly Jr., the tackle out of Oregon. They go out and they get, Jalen Moore, the offensive tackle from San Francisco. They give him a two-year, $30 million deal. Jalen Moore wasn't even a starter. I know he filled in, but wasn't even a real starter in San Francisco. This is a stopgap at tackle. They've got Juwan Taylor as well, who is up and down. This gives them a real legitimate long-term option at left tackle. I think he can come in and beat out Jalen Moore right away. Jalen Moore is somebody who will give them a capable starter, but Connerly is going to give them a much better start, I think, right now and certainly into the future as well. The sooner you can get them out there, Connerly, that is, and working with the Chiefs and working with Mahomes and giving them that blindside protector, he's going to pick up that offense, and he is going to be a long-term blindside protector for Patrick Mahomes. Would love that pick for KC. They desperately need more offensive linemen, and Connerly gives them exactly that. Number 32, last but not least, what do the Philadelphia Eagles do? They go and they restock on the defensive line. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss, to wrap things up as they start rebuilding that defensive front after they lost some guys like Josh Sweat. I know he's a tackle, Nolan, and Sweat's a defensive end, but they still, you know, they're going to continue to build in the trenches. And Walter Nolan is a high-end prospect that just so happens to be there at pick 32 and is exactly what Philly looks for. So to me, no-brainer for them. Some players that did not go in the first round that I could see going, but just couldn't fit them in. Graze Abel was the big one. I think he'd be one of the first players off the board in round two. Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State. Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State. Really just the injury that kind of keeps him off the board here, and just some offensive line falling, like Kelvin Banks going to 25 and Josh Connerly going 31. I just think, you know, with the injury coming off of it, there were some other options out there for the teams that needed tackles, but I would expect Jackson in that situation to go right away. Jackson Dart, the quarterback, Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Those are some of the players that were still out there, but overall, this is what we ended up with. Number one, Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward. Number two, Cleveland Browns, Abdul Carter. Number three, the New York Giants, Travis Hunter. Four, New England Patriots, Will Campbell. Five, Jacksonville Jaguars, Mason Graham. Number six, the Raiders, Ashton Jeanty. Seven, the Jets, Armon Membu. Eight, the Panthers, Jalen Walker. Nine, the Saints, Shedeur Sanders. 10, the Bears, Tyler Warren. 11, the 49ers, Jahad Campbell. 12, the Cowboys, Matthew Golden. 13, the Dolphins, Jahdae Barron. 14, the Colts, Colston Loveland. Also, Colston Loveland, it's right there. It's right in the name. Number 15, Atlanta Falcons, Mike Green. Number 16, the Cardinals, Michael Williams. Number 17, the Bengals, Kenneth Grant. 18, the Seahawks, Tet McMillan. Number 19, the Buccaneers, Tyler Booker. 20, the Broncos, Amarian Hampton. 21, the Steelers, Malachi Starks. Number 22, the Chargers, Will Johnson. 23, the Packers, Shamar Stewart. 24, the Commanders, trading up to get Donovan Azaraku. Number 25, the Texans, Kelvin Banks Jr. 26, the Rams, Maxwell Hairston. 27, the Ravens, Derek Harmon. 28, the Lions, James Pierce Jr. Number 29, the Vikings, Nick Emmanuori, the safety. Number 30, the Bills, Luther Burden III. 31, the Chiefs, Josh Connerly Jr., the tackle. And 32, the Eagles, Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me know, what did I get wrong? What did I get right? Why do you hate me? Why do you hate the Shamar Stewart pick? He's a really good football player. He really, really is. I'd be so excited about it. I get the trepidation. I really do. Not going to try to talk you into it. If you would have liked Derek Harmon, James Pierce, Luther Burden, Josh Connerly, Walter Nolan, you know, Emeka Egbuka, any of those guys, go for it. The world is your oyster. Be my guest. Choose your own adventure. I will see you guys tomorrow. I cannot thank you enough for your support. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Sinkle, and Jen Wright. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.